The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Quirky Dog Podcast, inspired by some of the quirkiest dogs you can ever imagine and the owners who love them. This podcast is brought to you by the quirky couple themselves, Scott and Jess Williams. Their aim is to educate and entertain. Here's Scott and Jess.
Welcome, guys, and happy Wednesday. We are coming to you from Salem, New Hampshire, and today we are going to talk about dogs then and now. This was a Scotty topic, and I loved it, so we're doing it. But first, we're going to start with the quirky tip of the day. Wow, that pig has a lot to say today. All right, our quirky tip of the day is... We are breaking this episode down to about 50 years ago, then about 25 years ago with dogs. So we're going to talk about the past 50 years of dogs. My quirky tip is, what do you want dogs to look like in 2050? Start to envision that. Start to, you know, think about that in your own headspace and start to make sure that your actions are heading there. Because things change a lot. And over a 50-year span, things changed quite a bit. But over the past 25-year span, you'd be shocked to see how much things change. So how did you come up with this? Why did you come up with this? What's going on here?
Well, again, it gets back to my in-person clients. I had a woman say to me, she had a 11-week-old German Shepherd puppy, and the puppy is a typical difficult puppy, that the potty training is an issue, this, that, you know, very mouthy, chewing on things. And I said, are you using a crate? And she said, no. And I said, well, are you open to doing some crating? And she said, well, the breeder said don't use a crate, and, you know, to have sleep on the floor with the puppy and some things like that, which I didn't think were really productive in the long run. And she said, well, when I was a kid, and she said she was like 55 or so. She said, when I was a kid, we never used crates. And I said, what'd you do with the dogs? And she said, we just put them on a chain in the backyard. I said, you want to put your puppy on a chain in the backyard? She goes, no. I said, okay, well, this is the difference in it's a mindset thing. And I'm not saying that putting a dog on a chain in the backyard is the right thing to do. But it's the way that we dealt with dogs 50, 60 years ago, and even 40 years ago, is just different. I mean, we wouldn't even, I was telling Jess when I was a kid, you know, maybe 13, so this is like around 1975 in that range. We used to hitchhike, me and my buddies, to get from point A to point B. It was very normal. It would be three of us standing on the side of the road, hitch. Somebody would stop, pickup truck. We'd all jump in the back of the pickup. They would take us a few miles down the road to where we wanted to go. And one of my buddies, his dog was always kind of tagging along with us. And this one day, you know, the dog's there. We all jump in, we hitchhike, and someone stops. You get in the pickup. And his dog just runs after the truck for like three quarters of a mile, just running as fast as he could. And we're laughing, and he's like, oh, don't worry about him. He'll get tired, and he'll go home. And I was saying to Jess, can you imagine like doing that with one of our dogs now? Like, just we're out somewhere, the dog just, we just get in a car and leave the dog in the road, and it's just running, trying to follow us until it's exhausted. But that was normal. I mean, everybody had their dogs off leash. Nobody did training that I knew. The dogs were not, you know, they were just... Yes, a lot more dogs got hit by cars. There was problems, but it was just a very casual attitude about dogs. When we went, and I've said this many times, when I'd get to elementary school, when I was in, this is in the late 60s, there'd be 15 dogs on the playground.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, 15 dogs have followed their kid to school. And the kids would all, the bell would go off, all the kids would go into the building. We had to line up outside, and then we'd all go in when the bell rang. And then all these dogs would just drift home. They'd all separate and just go home.
Yeah.
And that was just the way people lived with dogs. Yeah. And this is 60 years ago.
And 50, things 60 have years changed ago. A lot. And we're not saying we should go back to those times, but it's important to kind of notice the trends and follow the trends and maybe make some connections there, you know? And what really changed a lot of the free roaming stuff was the towns would get animal control officers, dog catchers, whatever you want to call them. Of course, spaying and neutering was, you know, more heavily implemented. And, you know, we were trying to help the overpopulation problem by making sure that dogs couldn't just be free range and breeding and having puppies under the stairs. And then there was more, you know, free range dogs in the neighborhood. Microchipping was another thing. Like, dogs were able to get back to their homes. There was a little bit of a system issue there. It's a universal microchip system now, but early on, not everyone had the right scanner to get the dogs, you know, back home. But there were a lot of little things that changed. But more than anything now, just philosophically, we feel so differently about dogs. And Scott and I are the first people to admit that we have dogs that sleep in our bed. Like, we love our dogs with everything we have. We have big Christmas morning with our dogs. We're not knocking anyone that feels that way. But you also have to be mindful that there's a big marketing push here with pet products and with what, you know, these companies are marketing. It's a multi-billion dollar industry for a reason. And while things like daycare and dog walkers and everything are a necessity, these are all very new age businesses. This was not even a thing, you know, a decade ago, or to the extent that it is now, you know, and even in this country, you know, the southern states versus like the northern states, not as many people in the South have daycares. It's not as widely recognized of a thing, right? Like, it's getting more and more popular over time. But the way that things are changing and the trends and how quickly they're changing, we thought was important to highlight.
Yeah, it's too bad. You should have taken, did you have that chart? You showed me the chart that people spend money on.
Chris, you can put it up.
So if you look at that chart, the interesting thing there is that there is not really a big change between the 60s up to like 1980, like 20 years there, where people didn't spend more or less on their dog. It was just a level thing. And then all of a sudden, around 1980, 1990, all of a sudden...
It wasn't until 2000. That's the interesting thing, is when all these other changes were implemented, where, you know, dogs weren't free-ranging and everything else, people weren't necessarily spending more on pet products. We're talking like the last 25 years has been, since Y2K to now, it's been a huge change. Like, that thing just shot up. You know what I mean? We were changing the way that we were sterilizing our dogs, if the dogs were free roaming or not. And vet care's in there too. That's the lower line. But like, pet product wise, in the last 25 years, it's just skyrocketed and it's going to keep going up. And again, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. We're not going to sit here and promote buying strollers for dogs on this podcast. I think that things are a little extreme when we get to that level of stuff. But, you know, think about, be mindful of this, because sometimes, you know, in the pet world or, you know, the parental world or whatever, you're like, oh, the more I buy for my dog, the better of a parent I am. Well, also, like, let's make sure the dog's mentally stable. You know, if it has six coats, that's awesome. But, you know, is the dog able to, you know, interact with people that come to your home? Is the dog going to the bathroom outside? Like, we can get back to some basics a little bit also with this kind of stuff with pet rearing.
I think, yeah, it's just like in politics these days in this country. I mean, things have gone to the extremes.
Yeah.
And with dogs, I don't think that I would ever raise my dog today the way people, I could never think of my dog today the way people thought about their dogs back in the 60s. And everybody had dogs. Everybody loved dogs.
Yeah.
Kids love dogs. But one of the interesting things, I was in another little search I did, a woman had written an article and she talked about how, what it was like as a kid in the 60s with dogs, and the training was the traditional training. Putting a slip collar on the dog, yanking the dog's neck, getting him to do all this stuff. And she was so happy that we no longer train that way, that we had these science-based positive methods of training. And immediately after that paragraph, she said...
I'll quote it. She said, "But I'm sad about the fact that canine separation anxiety is so common today. I never heard of a dog who panicked when left alone. I also don't know why so many dogs seem to suffer from this anxious behavior now." So, I mean, back to back, it was...
Right. And then right after that, she got into the dog aggression.
Yeah.
And she said the dog-on-dog aggression and dog-to-human aggression is way more prevalent now than it ever was in the 60s. They just didn't have that. And even when all the dogs came to the playground when I was a little kid, there was one fight, and I remember it specifically. There was this one fight between two dogs on the playground, and it was a friggin' vicious fight, and all the kids are around it. And the two boys that owned one dog and the other dog were rooting for their dogs, and then they got in a fight because it's like, he's like, "Kill him, Clifford." And then the other guy went over and punched him. And we're like 8-year-olds, little kids, so they're rolling around the ground.
A lot of mental illness people, in Rockport.
It was kids. It's the way kids are. But the point is, for years, all these dogs that come into the playground, I can only think of one dog fight.
Yeah.
Like the dogs, they were pack animals. They all just hung out together, checked each other out, and then went home.
Yeah. And at some point, we have to start drawing some parallels. These changes definitely could be multifaceted, but like, there are some specific trends that have changed. So Scott's talking about 50 years ago. He lived through that time. His family owned dogs during that time. A lot of dogs in his town. Let's go 25 years ago, right? So that's my era. I'm a kid. 25 years ago, I was going through a box of stuff not too long ago. The obedience class, your basic obedience class was a CD. It was an AKC CD. You would have to, you know, walk your dog around the ring. Then your dog would be off leash. Then you'd be doing, you know, this figure eight stuff. You'd be doing, you know, recalls, sit, stay to front. Like, this doesn't happen anymore. This is not a thing where you go to a basic class. Can you imagine you go to Petco and they're like basically doing full on, you know, CDs for the graduation there? This doesn't happen anymore. And I'm not saying let's go throw choke chains on dogs and, you know, get our 6 foot leather leash out and go back to that. But that level of basic training was so different than what we're requiring now. You know what I mean? We're taking it so much slower. There's so much more management going on. There's not that level of training. And then to pass that class, you weren't just doing it within that sterile environment. You were practicing that in your backyard, at parking lots and grocery stores. Like, you were implementing actual training that you could also take out into the real world. So in some ways, we're getting farther and farther away from that type of stuff. And again, we're not saying that let's let dogs loose and they're free roaming. And we're not saying that, you know, we have to have this really stringent obedience for every single dog on the streets. But we're getting farther and farther away from these ideals. And we're also seeing a lot more problems, you know, manifesting and creating themselves. And maybe there's some validity to that.
Yeah, I mean, out in California, Keeler, who is like, supposedly he's like the evil dog trainer these days by the positive movement. He had a 12-week course. And literally hundreds upon thousands of dogs went through a 12-week course and got their CD.
Yeah.
That was just basic, a pet dog class.
Yeah, we're going to make it happen.
And they were all at the end passing a course. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's like people are throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's all terrible. Don't do anything like that. We're going to do all this. And it's two, they're both extreme camps. And you need to find something in the middle where the dogs are working. You know, I've said to many people in my evaluations, and I got this from a sales cassette that I listened to in the early 90s when I used to drive around a truck listening to cassettes. And the guys, and it comes to like wanting to sell something to somebody.
This was a Zig Ziglar thing?
It was another gentleman.
Okay.
But he said, it's important to care, but not that much. Because if you, then you seem so needy that people are like, I'm not comfortable with this, you know? And I tell people, think about, like, try to work with your dog a little bit like that. You care about them, but not so much that you're turning them into an anxious mess.
Yeah.
Even though you may feel that way, you need to
reel it in a little bit.
Yeah, back up just a little bit.
Don't, you know, make them inconsolable. And yeah. Scott was doing some research on this topic. There was a lot of stuff that popped up. And I want to bring up that chart, actually. We don't have to pull it back up. But that came from the National Institute of Health. There was a big study done as far as, you know, differences in, you know, how dogs were getting euthanized at the shelter and everything else. So that was a really interesting study that came out. And that chart came from that. I want to give credit to that. But then even people like talking on different forums about how things have changed. And, you know, just some basic stuff came up. Like, now pet food is a thing, right? We go and we buy our dogs human grade raw, where all the restaurants buy raw food or buy their food. And, you know, we're grinding it at home and it's a huge, big process. Everybody has their specialty bags. You know, half the people out there are buying a $70 to $80 bag of dog food. The dog food industry has many varieties. It's just all changing so much. Back in the day, you used to go to the store, see the cans on the shelf, what was for sale on sale that week. And that's what you would buy. The dogs were switching proteins all the time, switching diets all the time. It wasn't even a thought. It was not happening.
I can remember we used to buy Alpo. We bought the Gaines burgers. Yep. They were like these little dried things in the little plastic cellophane wrapper. And then Gravy Train was the big thing because it was a kibble, but then you put some water on it and it makes its own gravy. It was like, this is just what they were selling us on the TV, on the commercials, and we would buy all that stuff. And I remember,
I can remember
there was a big news story on, I think it was in the 70s when the economy was really tough and a lot of seniors were eating dog food. They were eating Alpo and they were making this big thing, like, don't eat this dog food, it's not good for you.
If we don't turn things around quick here in the country, we may get back to
I'm stocking up on canned dog food right now.
But no, like, these are just little nuances that have changed in a big way. Now half the time, you know, a dog gets a piece of chicken that's outside of its diet and the owner's like, oh my God, you know, the dog's going to have bloody stool for 5 days. And there are some dogs who legitimately have allergies and food allergies and everything else, but a lot of that is very overrated. I'm sorry, a lot of these dogs just have like an underlying anxiety with them. It's not so much about their diets. Another thing that's changed is vet care. I'm crazy about going to the vet. I'm not saying that, you know, and everybody should just be going once a year or anything else, but, you know, I'm running blood work on our senior dogs regularly, everything. it used to just be you'd go if there was an issue or you'd go to get shots, right?
Yeah. Now people didn't do the wellness exams.
Yeah, there weren't these wellness exams. There weren't these, you know, dental exams. You know, some insurance companies, they'll give you a free dental every year for the dogs. Personally, I don't want my dogs anesthetized every year, and I just scrape their teeth myself. If you have fake nails, you can really do a lot for the dog's teeth with the tartar, by the way, as an aside. Dog clothes. Not a thing, okay? And, you know, yes, we, you know, have done some dress-up dog stuff for the quirky dog stuff. Our dogs have back-on-track coats. It's super cute when you have a little dog. Little dogs need sweaters, especially in New England. I'm not going to give them a hard time.
Yeah, or dogs without... Italian greyhound.
Yeah,
dogs. You shouldn't have got one in New England to begin
but
with.
But they need sweaters. Yeah. I mean, I understand that clothes are a thing, but, like, could you imagine putting clothes on dogs, you know, 50 years ago? People would look at you like you're absolutely positively insane. There weren't places to board them. You know, dogs were well enough behaved and they knew the neighborhood enough that somebody would just come by, feed the dog, let the dog out. It was just a whole different ballgame. Like we were talking, daycare. This is a thing that has just started. Daycare, even when your kids were growing up, it was basically a kid thing. Like it wasn't a dog thing. It wasn't the world has changed so much. And that's kind of why I posed that question at the beginning of this is, where do you want it to head? What do you want it to look like? And for me, I don't really want it to get any more extreme on the medication side and the, you know, hands-off side and everything else. I'd like to see these dogs back out there working, using their brains, being the dogs who they were meant to be and feeling okay in their own skin. But it's also about training the owners to get the dogs to feel that way and get in the right headspace also, and that they're interacting with them in a proper way.
But society as a whole is much less stable than we used to be also.
That's true.
And that's why the dogs are getting more unstable as
well. Yeah, but that's why we have to be mindful of where we're at now and where we want to head. And it doesn't have to be where you're heading as society, but what do you want things to look like for you? Honestly, for me, and I can say this truly, honestly, the past 30 years, the way I am with dogs now is pretty much the way I've been for 30 years. And I'm not saying that that's good, bad, or ugly or anything else, but that's probably where I'll be 30 years from now. I want my dogs to have a great relationship with me, love me. If they slip out the front door, I want to be able to call them back. If I want to go out with them to a festival or a parade or something, I want them to be able to be out in public and functioning well in society. My criteria for what I wanted back in the day is pretty much the same as it is now. I flew dogs on planes as a kid, and I fly dogs on planes now. Like there are certain things about me that this is just how I want to function and how I will plan to function, but it's basically what we're looking at for society overarching as a whole.
And when I got my first dog as an adult for my kids, I didn't want to just get a dog for the house. I really wanted to get involved in training. And that was a big thing. I was working with other dogs before I got a dog, because I was really interested in the training aspects of it. So when I got the first dog, when my daughter was maybe she was three, something like that, I figured she was old enough. First thing I was doing was obedience with the dog and train, you know, and seeing how much I could get out of this dog based on my pathetic ability to train.
Which is abnormal. Not everyone's going to be like that. And you don't have to want to be a trainer to get a dog, but just know what your goal is. Before you bring this dog into your home, know what you want that ideal situation to look like for your family, for yourself. You know, when your kids do leave for college, you know, when they get to be 18 or so and they're out of the house, what do you want the family picture to look like when it's just the dog in the house? Why are you bringing this dog into your house? And you can create that for yourself. Don't just get a puppy and then start doing research and then just jump on the bandwagon with everybody else. So I, you know, guess why I have to feed this premium food and I have to go to this daycare and I have to do this, that, and the other thing. Do what works for you, because dogs have been around for a very, very, very long time, and we're almost inhibiting them from being themselves in certain ways with the way that we're raising them and the way that we're interacting with them and everything.
I wanted to say one thing that's different now compared to the 60s is that the breeds of dogs that we own now are extremely diverse. And that comes from the AKC and seeing that, you know, as a society, and because the economy, people are making more money, they have more expendable money, disposable income. They decide they want a dog based on what it looks like. And that's not the way it was in the 60s. In the 60s, people either had, for the most part, either mongrels, mutts, or a lot of German shepherds were real popular. So that was a purebred dog, but it was a popular breed, a very trainable breed, bred to work with people. That'd be like one of the only purebreds, or getting into like beagles, some hunting dogs, things like that. But in my community where I lived, it was a lot of mixed breeds. there weren't like the Italian Greyhound, like I mentioned. Nobody would have ever, they wouldn't have even known where to get one. Let alone poorly it would be for that environment.
And it's another podcast altogether, but designer breeds have changed things completely too. Yeah. Like that's been within this past 25 years also, where we just saw that skyrocket of, you know, the pet industry and pet products. Like this is something, these are things that are changing. They're changing rapidly. And is it necessarily for the better? In that article I brought up that shared the chart before from the National Institute of Health, another statistic was in a study in 2015, over 45% of households buy their dog a birthday present and 71% of households share their bed with dogs. I mean, that's a pretty high margin of people that are, you know, celebrating their dog's birthday or the dog's gotcha day and everything else. Again, nothing wrong with that. When we have dogs in over Christmas, all the pet dogs have their own stocking and everything else. But it's just really a telltale sign of how we feel about our animals now. We see a lot of clients that aren't having kids. Instead, they just get a dog or they get multiple dogs and they're choosing not to bring a human into the world. And they're almost raising their dogs as though they're going to be their children. So it's not that, you know, you have to.
There's a generational difference between you and I. I mean, I don't even know when my dogs, what their birthdays are. I mean, you help me.
You barely know when my birthday is. So, I mean, that's not, I don't think that's generational as much as it is just brain function.
I didn't grow up getting Christmas gifts for my dogs and all that stuff. And that is a big thing with you that I've adopted and it's fun. But I mean, that is not my thinking with my dogs, that I have to get them, take them out for an ice cream on their birthday. And we're going to do this because now it's Christmas and here's the anniversary of their first.
In his calendar, you know,
the first time they got their nail trim, we're going to have a little freaking party.
It's literally like choose birthday. And he's like, what do you want to do? You want to go to the beach? Yeah. You got him a freaking puppuccino. Don't even get me started. He doesn't acknowledge it. This is my eccentric thing. So just be conscious of where you are. If you own dogs previously, or your parents had dogs, your grandparents had dogs, just take a moment, take a mental note of like, whoa, yeah, how are things different? And then not only that in your mental inventory, but where do you want to head? What do you want things to look like? Where are you going to go? And maybe we're not going to all go there as a society, but I'm going to promise you that every dog that I ever own, I'm not going to be thrown on a bunch of psychiatric medication just to live with it. I'm going to help that dog and help its mental headspace be where I want it to be so it can feel stable within the body that it was raised and born in. Because this wasn't something 50 years ago or 25 years ago that we were doing, and now it's just becoming commonplace.
And conversely, I'm not just going to let my dog out loose out the front door. And when he comes back, he comes back. Yeah. You know, and that's the way we were when I was a kid and all my buddies were. And a lot of dogs get hit by cars. Yeah. A ton of dogs were got hit by a car. Let's go to the dog pound and find another dog.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, they were a little bit more disposable in that regard. Everyone felt bad, but then they're like, oh, let's go get another dog.
Yeah. No, we're not recommending completely going back in time. And, you know, if you have a dog officer and you need to register your dogs and everything else, we don't want you to be the neighborhood issue now that, you know, the dogs are free roaming. But things are changing and have changed a lot. So focus on the next 25 years. Focus on where you want to head personally. And think about that for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Dogs then and now. It was a good topic. I'm impressed.
Well, something to think about.
Every now and then he comes up with one, even if he can't remember birthdays. All right, guys, have a great week. And in the meantime, keep it quirky. Thanks.
Want to keep up with all the latest from Quirky Dog
Podcast? The
views
and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.